ladies and gentlemen, to the Arizona Board of Osteopathic Examiners in Medicine and Surgery on Friday, October 13, 2023, at approximately 8:36 a.m. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Mr. Bohol, can we have a roll call and review of the agenda?
Yes, sir. Dr. Oda and Dr. Walker are absent. Mr. Berg?
Present.
Mr. Goodman? I'm sorry. Present? Okay. Dr. Shippon?
Present.
Dr. Madam?
Present.
Dr. Erbsdoser?
Present.
You have a quorum, sir, and the agenda is finalized.
Thank you. The mission of the board is to protect the public by setting educational and training standards for licensure and by reviewing complaints made against osteopathic physicians, interns, and residents to ensure that the conduct meets the standards of the profession as defined by law ARS 32-184. I would like to welcome, the board would like to welcome the medical students from Midwestern University, Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine, A.T. Still University, Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, and A.T. Still University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Arizona. Welcome. Moving on to item 3B, if any member of the public who is not a respondent or licensee or applicant or complainant wishes to address the board in a manner that appears on the agenda, you will be asked to speak during the call to the public. If you want to address the board on an issue not on the agenda, you will be asked to speak during the call to the public. All those wishing should speak to contact a member of the board at staff at this time. Mr. Bohol, do we have any issues? Do we have anybody who wants to speak?
No, sir, at this time.
Okay, very good. Moving on to item 4, review considerations and approval of minutes. Item 4A, August 19, 2023, open session. We all had a chance to read. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion to approve. I'll second that.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Moving on to 4B, August 19th, 2023, executive session. Do I have a motion for approval?
Motion.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, great. We were asked by Dr. Thompson's attorneys to go to the review and discussion and possible action on interim suspension of license or accordance to ARS 32-1855 regarding Dr. Joseph Thompson, cases DO-180155A and DO-19-0020. Is Dr. Thompson here?
Yes, we're here, but Attorney Tim Nelson, who is going to present, is having trouble getting on.
Okay.
Lindsay, he says it looks like he's in the waiting room, but he hasn't been admitted.
I do not see him in the waiting room. Is he using the correct link?
Oh, I gave him the correct link.
Okay.
Hold on.
He just showed up.
Oh, there he is.
There we go.
I don't think Tim is aware that you've introduced the matter.
Hello.
Hi, this is Tim Nelson. Yes, I'm sorry. I just got into the meeting, so I've missed whatever's happened so far.
Well,
has our matter been called?
Yes, it has been.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're going to start with that, and we're going to go. I would like the counsel to introduce themselves to the public, please.
Certainly. My name is Tim Nelson. My partner, Lawrence Weinzweig, is also on the call. We represent Dr. Joseph Thompson.
Great. Thank you. And this is in a review of suspension. So we're going to go through a summary of the case basically from Mr. Bohol. It's not going to be the case. It's going to be what's transpired post-case. So, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, sir. At the October 1st, 2022 board meeting, the board voted to approve an interim consent agreement for practice restriction to allow for the respondent to complete alternative testing and for secondary testing to be completed on the original sample. At the December 3rd, 2022 board meeting, the board reviewed the evidence in the testing and voted to refer the matter for formal hearing and to recommend the revocation of the license. On February 22, 2023, the board met to review the respondent's request for settlement. The board delegated settlement authority to the executive director. On April 28, 2023, the respondent signed an amended interim consent agreement for interim suspension of license. The terms of the agreement are a stayed revocation of the license and continued suspension. I won't read the other terms. We can discuss those in executive session.
Okay. Keep going, please.
You are good. Just reviewing. We have final reports that confirm compliance with the agreement, and the details of such we can discuss in executive session, and the board can use this time to discuss options for returning to practice.
Okay. If I may, Mr. President, I think some of this needs to be discussed in executive session. Before we get to that discussion, I would like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice.
I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Goodman. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
May I ask before we do that if Tim or Lauren have any initial comments or remarks that they would like to make that are appropriate for public session that might inform us in executive?
I would be willing to hold, of course, on my motions being accepted until that's done. And I saw that angry look on your face, Ms. Galvin. I appreciate that.
Angry.
Concerned?
I think Dr. Thompson had a brief statement, and then Mr. Nelson had a statement.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes, all right. So good morning, President. Thank you for the opportunity to appear here today to discuss my return to the career I was meant to undertake. I understand that the positive PEP test I received in September of last year put this board in a pretty difficult position. Despite my continued belief and assertion that the test was result was a false positive, I am grateful that the board offered me a pathway toward reinstatement, and I believe that the board's requirements have benefited me greatly. I'm proud to report that, as confirmed by the records the board has been provided with, I have now fulfilled each of the steps of that pathway. The last year has not been an easy one for me professionally or personally, and while onerous, the board's scrutiny and requirements have helped me to center myself and hone skills that will further maintain my sobriety. Counseling, fitness systems, meditative practices, and family life have been especially fulfilling and have molded me into a stronger, more compassionate person and physician. I want to share with you that I am the proud and humble father of a beautiful little girl. She is now three. I commit every day to being the best person I can be for her, to being present with her, and to ensuring that she is happy, healthy, and safe. Fatherhood has brought me many blessings, one of which is that it helps me maintain my focus on what is important and good. The tutelage and career-building mentorship of this board has given me my strengthened resolve to remain on the lifelong path necessary to succeed in my profession and more simply in life. While I successfully completed the immediate requirements of our last consent agreement, I look forward to working with you on the pursuit of our joint goal of providing safe, effective, and excellent health care to the Arizonans going forward. I want to assure you that I am wholly committed to my sobriety and I hope you will give me the opportunity to serve again as a physician. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. And with the board's permission, I'll continue with my statement at this point. Is that acceptable?
Please.
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Thompson. Your statement was very gracious. And the points that I would like to add for the board to consider are these. First, Dr. Thompson has consistently maintained that he has been entirely sober since 2019. The only evidence to the contrary was the September 2022 PEP test, There were no other contemporaneous or other testing that has ever been positive since 2019. With respect to that PEP test, the board was initially informed at the initial hearing that a Dr. Skipper, who we agree is a qualified expert in this area, the board was told that he had said that a PEP test of 62.8 nanograms per milliliter was proof that Dr. Thompson had been drinking. In fact, we now know that Dr. Skipper has published an article that is very different from that. Among other things, he said any result that is less than 112 nanograms per milliliter, and Dr. Thompson's result was about half of that, is a, quote, low positive. But more importantly, what he wrote is that, quote, a low positive blood PEP test should not be used by itself as proof of intentional alcoholic beverage consumption. So it was not appropriate to consider that test by itself, especially when there were so many other contemporaneous tests that were done in that time frame that came back negative. Regardless of how you feel about that, the medical discharge record that is before the board right now is clear, and I'd like to quote from one portion in particular. Quote, even if September 2022 was a true positive result, paren, he relapsed or was drinking moderate amounts, close paren, there was no evidence that Joe has ongoing alcohol use, and he certainly has no alcohol withdrawal symptoms. He is in remission and has been engaging in the mandated monitoring and outpatient services. As Dr. Thompson has explained, the additional requirements imposed by the board under the amended ICA have nevertheless helped him and helped further his recovery and made him a better doctor. But they have indeed been very onerous and very expensive. The SoberLink costs him $120 a month. The PET test is $128 per test, and he has to take six tests a month. The ankle monitor was $500 a month. The Community Bridges program was $400 a month. Every time he is called for a urine test, it's $68 a test. Every time he's called for a hair test, it's $225 per test. His Sierra Tucson copay requirement was $2,200, and his Meadow copay requirement was $2,591. In total, his out-of-pocket cost of complying with the amended ICA has been $12,892. But Dr. Thompson has benefited from all of this and has complied with all terms of the amended ICA. And so we ask at this point that the amended ICA be terminated, that the original ICA be the sole agreement conditioning Dr. Thompson's practice going forward, and that the suspension be lifted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson, we base our decision on the facts that are presented to us. So if we found that he was in fault, then he was in fault. So, you know, saying that this test, and now you have him coming back saying, well, you know, he kind of backlagged on his recommendations or his findings. I would say that we have to protect the public. That's our job, right?
I don't disagree with you at all.
Right, and I know these endeavors are very costly. So that I want to make that clear that we're here for the public and making sure that he is a safe provider.
And Dr. Thompson shares that goal. We want nothing but the best, most excellent healthcare coverage for the public. We are entirely in agreement with you. I did want you to be aware of Dr. Skipper's article because I think it's relevant.
Oh, I do. I do, but that's now, wasn't then.
Okay. I realize that. Okay. I recognize that.
Right. Mr. Nelson, if the chair is speaking, please don't talk over him. I understand that you have a lot to say, but make sure you allow the chair to finish his statement before you start to talk. We also have a recorder on this line, and they have to keep track of this. Thank you.
Okay. Now, do we move to executive session now?
Yes. I would like to restate my motion for a movement to executive session for personal and confidential information and legal advice.
Do I have a second?
We second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
We've received the link shortly.
Everybody's present? Okay. Welcome back from open session for legal advice. Board members, board member, Dr. Matem.
Dr. Erbstrasser, if I may.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion after detailed consideration and express my appreciation to Dr. Thompson for the efforts he's put in so far, and hopefully we'll continue these efforts. In light of the information discussed, I would like to make a motion to lift the interim suspension that is currently in place.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We got a second by Mr. Goodman. Do we need a roll call vote?
You do not.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. Passes.
Thank you. Mayor, Dr. Erbstrasser?
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion for a consent agreement for Dr. Thompson for probation of 4 years with option of lifting at 24 months with terms to include but not limited to a stayed revocation of the license, a limitation of a 40-hour work week, and continued monitoring with delegation of details of this to be to be delegated to Mr. Bohol for finalization.
We got a motion on the floor. Do we have a second? I will second it. All in favor say aye.
We do need a roll call.
Okay, roll call vote.
Mr. Berg.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Aye.
Dr. Shippon.
Yes.
Dr. Matem.
Aye.
Dr. Erbstrasser.
Yes. Motion passes. Okay. Justin, you want to guide the legal team, or does the legal team have any other comments?
I'm happy to set a meeting with you all, and we can discuss the consent agreement and finalize that for the board. If you have any other questions, I'm happy to speak with you.
I don't think so. Lauren, do you?
No, I just appreciate the board's consideration today. Thank you.
Very much so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck. And we'll see you sometime. Hopefully in practice.
Thank you.
Not here.
Not here. Okay. Let's move on. Can we take a break? Would somebody like a little 10-minute break?
I'd like to make a motion for a 10-minute break.
10-minute break, so move. All right, 10-minute break.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back. We're going to move to item 5, review and discussion and possible action on case review. Basically, what we do is review this case briefly, and we decide as a board whether or not we need to transition it to an investigative hearing. So we're going to move to item 5A, DO-210049A. Dr. Brian, I think, pre-bill.
Dr. Upsister, if I may, I need to recuse myself from this matter.
So good. Okay. All right, can we have a brief review, please?
Yes. This was sent for an expert review by a board-certified general surgeon. This was the complaint was due to a malpractice settlement made on Dr. Preble's behalf. The patient was actually taken to surgery by a different surgeon for an by a primary surgeon for an elective takedown of a colostomy and a hernia repair. Dr. Preble was the first.
Excuse me, Dr. Preble, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you place me in a breakout room or something?
Yes, sorry, hold up.
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
The patient was taken to surgery by Dr. Balasair for an elective takedown of a colostomy and a hernia repair with Dr. Brian Preble as first assist. At the conclusion of the case, the surgeons were notified that all sponge, needle, and instrument counts were correct. The patient was readmitted to the hospital later with a postoperative ileus, and a foreign object was identified on CT scan. He underwent an open exploration of the abdomen, and a wing nut from a bowel 4 retractor was found and removed. It was noted that, interestingly enough, the foreign body, the bowel 4 retractor wing nut, was not actually seen on a KUB done in the ER, but had to be found with a CT scan. And also, the primary surgeon did a manual check of the abdomen prior to closing, and there were two instrument counts. She felt that it's just, you know, any time that there's a foreign object left, that does fall below the standard of care, but she noted, our expert noted, that the problem lies with apportioning blame. Because of the fact that the patient had a past medical history significant for cancer, obesity, and adhesions from previous surgeries. As a matter of fact, in this case, it started out as a robotic surgery that had to be converted to open because there were so many adhesions. That's all I have.
Thank you, Dr. Prahl. Is Dr. Preble here?
Dr. Preble is not present, but did provide a supplemental response that was included with the materials. It does just reaffirm essentially what Dr. Prahl provided.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, any thoughts? I mean, frankly, this is just one of those bad cases that, you know, the nut fell off. There was nothing that was done intentional. They had an extensive adhesed abdomen, makes things very difficult. They did sponge counts. They did everything. So, you know, frankly, I think we should do a. I'm going to put a motion on the board for dismissal.
I would like to second that. Just give myself a chance to speak.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Obviously, the board takes very serious foreign bodies. In light of this was a second assist, And it sounds like proper procedures were followed to the best of the ability. I certainly still feel comfortable seconding this. That being said, each individual physician is responsible for instrumentation and outcomes and accounting for equipment, and the staff doing counts is staff that's made to back up, but not take complete responsibility. So there's still some responsibility on the physician, but in this case, I still agree and would like to second dismissal.
Thank you, Dr. Matem. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion passes. Case is dismissed. Thank you, Dr. Fraw. Thank you, Dr. Matem. Moving on to 5B, DO-23-0078A, Dr. Marvin Pinzon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Is the doctor here?
The doctor is not present.
Okay. And can we have a review of the case?
Yes. The case before the board states the following. The Kentucky Board of Medical Licensure provided the following complaint statement. Dr. Marvin Pinzon failed to report a criminal history to the Kentucky Board of Medical Licensure and paid a fine during the application process to obtain a Kentucky license. Dr. Marvin Pinzon has no prior board actions with the Arizona Board. However, he was arrested in 2004 for a reckless driving conviction, which is what he failed to report to Kentucky. Staff notes that in Dr. Pinzon's previous application, he disclosed a 1997 arrest for DUI, but did not disclose the 2004 arrest for reckless driving, and his application to the Arizona Board was August 13, 2008. So the board can consider if they'd like to issue discipline consistent with Kentucky for failing to disclose, they would need to move the case forward to investigative hearing. The board can also dismiss the case at case review. You can also issue non-discipline or issue non-disciplinary continuing education if the board feels that's appropriate.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Comments? Board members?
So, I'm sorry, there was a 2004 incident that he failed to disclose to Kentucky. There was also a 1997 incident that he did disclose to Kentucky and or Arizona?
Correct.
And was it? I thought I saw some other incidents on this physician's file. Am I thinking of somebody else?
I'll check.
I'm sorry, I might be mixing up my cases.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
Yeah, I believe it was just the Kentucky discipline that he did disclose the Kentucky discipline, which is how we're reviewing it on his renewal application. So there was proper disclosure of the discipline.
So he disclosed the discipline in Kentucky to us, and he disclosed the 1997 DUI to us also, is that correct?
Correct.
Jean? Ms. Galvin?
Yes.
When they say a case is expunged for the medical students and frankly myself, what does this really mean?
In layman's terms, it's as if it never occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And he states that there was an agency that completed the renewal application, and he did not understand that he was to report any offenses that had been expunged from his records. And he acknowledged that he should have been filling out the application and not have delegated that to an agency who completes applications for him on a regular basis. Apparently he's licensed in several states. So if your record is expunged, it is essentially supposed to disappear from the record, and as if it says if it had never occurred.
Right. And is he obligated to report?
Your application requires him to disclose even if the record has been expunged.
Does it say that on in the licensure, even expunged records?
It does.
Perfect. Good. All right. All right. What do you guys want and gals want to do?
Well, to state again, it's our responsibility to fill out our own license applications. We certainly cannot blame others for filling it out incorrectly. That happens all the time. I'm not directly accusing this physician of it, but I know it's happened to other people. Mm-hmm. It's important to read these applications in detail. We try to spell that out. And there's also contact information on our website as far as if you have any questions, to which I'm sure Mr. Bohol and our other staff will answer the phone briskly if you have any questions about filling out the application. Still take this very seriously for the Kentucky violation, but it appears to have been addressed in the past. I would like to make a motion to dismiss this file.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
Second.
We got a second by Mr. Berg. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose? Okay, motion passes.
Okay.
So both of these doctors will be notified, right, Justin?
That's correct.
Mr. Bohol. Okay, great. Okay. We're going to move on now to number 7.
Correct.
Review consideration and action on applications for licensure. We're going to move to case 7A. DO-23-0105A, Dr. Jonathan Gabriel.
And Dr. Gabriel is present. If you'd like to turn on your camera and your microphone. Excellent.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hello,
so much,
Dr. Gabriel.
Hello. Thank you for reviewing this case today, guys. I appreciate it.
And Ms. Castro will provide the review and summary.
All right. Very good.
Staff received an application for Jonathan Gabriel, April 10th of 2023, for postgraduate training permit. Based on the information provided on the application, the PGT permit was issued by staff. Shortly after the permit was issued, staff was contacted by the University of Arizona College of Medicine, informing us that Dr. Gabriel gave misinformation on his PGT application and the program had placed him on administrative leave. As a result, board staff placed his PGT permit on active with restrictions. Dr. Gabriel contacted staff July 25th, disclosing that he had been arrested on 3 separate occasions in 2009, 2013, and 2014. Dr. Gabriel stated he was arrested at the College of New Jersey for disorderly conduct February 14th of 2010. He stated that him and a friend were throwing water bottles out of his 6-story window and was required to pay a citation fee and completed 50 hours of community service. Board staff has confirmed the arrest and the charges. The documentation from the court shows that the charge was dismissed in October of 2010. Dr. Gabriel stated he was arrested in March of 2013 while in Alabama on spring break following a traffic stop where the officer searched the car. Doctor stated he was arrested for possession of a controlled substance and entered into a pretrial diversion program. Board staff has confirmed the arrest and charges. Documentation from the county court confirmed that the charges were dismissed in July of 2014. Dr. Gabriel also stated he was arrested in February of 2014 in a grocery store while intoxicated when he was charged with public drunkenness and resisting arrest. He states that the charges were dismissed. Staff has received the arresting records and confirmed the incident and the charges. The documentation from the clerk of court states no criminal record was found and also states, quote, record exists but no conviction is shown. Board staff expresses concern that by failing to submit an accurate history on the PGT application as required, that Dr. Gabriel has usurped the board's ability to review this at the application process to determine his eligibility and safety to practice in an approved postgraduate training program. Dr. Gabriel's PGT permit remains on active with restrictions. If the board finds a violation, there are options listed in your memo.
Thank you. Okay, questions for the doctor, or maybe we should have Dr. Gabriel give us a...
Am I able to make a statement?
Yeah, you can make a statement, a brief summary. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Lindsay, for summarizing what I submitted to the board. Basically, I just wanted to highlight a few points. I first take full responsibility for my clerical documentation mistake. When applying for my permit, I failed to critically read the passage, specifically Section F of the postgraduate training application in regards to disclosing arrest charges and diversion programs. I've never been convicted of a crime. I can assure you there's absolutely no deceitful intent. It was my mistake to read the application as it is indeed clearly stated, as you just mentioned. In the previous case, I am reflexively used to answering no to these types of questions on similar job application types of forms. And frankly, when my mistake was brought to my attention, and this kind of resulted from the Arizona Fingerprint DPS denial, as the there was no resolution to the one case, as Ms. Castro mentioned, and that's what prompted this. So when the GME office brought this to my attention, frankly, I was very perplexed as to how it could even happen because, I frankly did not remember answering that question in that way. And for what it's worth, in a previous application to the New Jersey DO board, I did disclose those arrests. I submitted all the proper documentation and my permit was approved without further review. And frankly, I think this was just a very serious mistake because of just the large amount of documentation that goes into, starting a new job. And it led me to not clearly reviewing the wording of the form correctly and just reflexively selecting no. But I fully take ownership of my mistake. I'll make sure it's never repeated. The situation has already greatly affected my life for the past 3 months as, I'm a resident. I've not been able to work, take care of cancer patients. So, it's obviously affected my family life and may continue to do so pending the resolution of this investigation. I certainly have learned my lesson. I'll take extra care moving forward and not just on, focusing on details and similar types of applications, but also in the care of my patients. And I just want to reiterate, all these incidences did occur in a very far distant past life, 10 years ago or more. They speak nothing of me today, of what kind of person I am. So I just want to reiterate that fact. Mm-hmm. I accept my mistake. I hope my personal accounts of these events, which Lindsay did summarize, but in my statement, which I trust you all have read, does also provide some learning points for each situation, the personal growth that resulted from each, and hopefully that provides some insight to my true character today and, leaves us all on a distant version of myself far in the past, completely detached from my current being. So I hope you recognize that providing the misinformation was an honest mistake and that our follies do not define us, but learning from them as well as repeating them surely does, and I hope my statements and accounts show such, and hopefully we can arrive on a positive outcome so I can, get back to serving fellow Arizonians that need urgent treatment and care for their cancer diagnoses. And just, again, thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Dr. Gabriel. Can you just give us an update on what you're doing? Okay, I want to know what you're doing, where you are in your training stage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I completed my intern year in New Jersey. I was doing orthopedic surgery. Field just really was not for me, and the program was honestly, frankly, very toxic. So I resigned, and I moved out west and then ended up here at the University of Arizona in radiation oncology. I, you know, started here this past May, just moved to Arizona, settled here with my family. We have a 10-month-old boy as well. And I basically went through all the onboarding, essentially worked for a month, and then this was brought to my attention. I immediately notified the board and took all the steps that were requested of me to try to get resolution here.
Okay, so and how do you... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And essentially, as soon as Lindsay notified me, you know, of the, I'm not sure what the wording you used, active with restrictions, I was removed by the university from all clinical patient care, and I've just been doing essentially non-clinical roles, like, you know, research on de-identified patient information and stuff that was deemed allowed by the university.
So, to get to radiation oncology, do you have to do a radiology residency?
No, it's its own separate. It's a 5-year residency, so you do one intern year. My orthopedic surgery intern year counted for that as a surgical internship. My second year obviously did not count, and then I moved out here, and I have 4 more years. So right now I'm technically at PGY2.
PGY2, and you're kind of on hold right now in terms of moving forward into residency.
That is correct.
Okay. Questions for the boards?
I have a question, if I may, Dr. Obsessor.
Yes, Mr. Goodman.
Dr. Gabriel, thank you for being here, and congratulations on having a 10-month-old.
Thank you.
I know exactly what that's like to have a very bumpy history and struggle with how to disclose and what needs to be disclosed. But what I am concerned more about is whether the behaviors left in the past or just getting caught is left in the past. So where are you at now with substance abuse?
Mr. Goodman, I wanted to ask these questions, but can I make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice? I really want to hear this, Mr. Goodman. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
I second that.
I'm in favor.
Would you have to say aye?
Aye.
You made a motion, I second.
Okay, you should receive the link right now.
we're back in open session. All right. Dr. Matem, you wanted to say a word?
Yes, because it gives me a chance to stand on my soapbox when I make a motion here. I'm not very tall, so the soapbox certainly helps. So I would like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted training license. And the reason I'm doing so is I appreciate the work that Dr. Gabriel has done. I appreciate what he's done with his life, and I appreciate the efforts of moving forward. Mm-hmm. That being said, of course, we take our license applications very seriously, and we'll use this as another reminder of being very careful with how we fill out our license applications, not just to protect our patients, which is our primary role, but to allow us to help protect our physicians.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. There you go, Dr. Gabriel.
Thank you. Can I ask a question or two, please?
Sure.
In the process of considering moonlighting and therefore filling out my initial license application, so how do I have to respond to the questions on there to make sure mistakes aren't repeated?
We can have Mr. Bohol reach out to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. And, I guess that is all. Thank you all for your time, and I appreciate the resolution.
You betcha. Good luck.
We'll be in touch.
Thanks. Take care. Thank you, Justin.
Be ready to go?
We do have Dr. Maddox present. If you'd like to move to 7B.
7B, DO-23-0127A, Dr. Kevin Maddox. Hello there, Dr. Maddox. You're on mute.
Hello. First off, I'd like to apologize to my parents. My wife and I have been camping all over Utah for the past week. So we're currently in St. George right now. So I haven't had a shower. So
no worries.
Please. Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Castro provides a summary.
Staff received an application for licensure for Dr. Kevin Maddox November 30th of 2022. On the application, Dr. Maddox answered no to having ever been arrested, charged with a conviction or a felony. During the process of the application, staff became aware that Dr. Maddox had been arrested in 1997 in the state of Kansas for aggravated battery and contributing to a child misconduct. In addition, Dr. Maddox had a second arrest in 2004 for a DUI in the state of Oklahoma. Dr. Maddox stated in July of 1997, while he was 18 years old, he was arrested after drinking at a gas station with friends and getting in a fight. He further explained that he misinterpreted the disclosure question. He stated the charges were dropped and dismissed in August of 97. Arresting records from the police department and documents from the court were provided, the final adjudication of the case was dismissed. Dr. Maddox further stated that while in college, he was arrested for a DUI in March of 2004. Documentation from the Oklahoma State Bureau investigation showed that the case was dismissed. Additional documentation was provided from the county court showing that the case had been expunged.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Maddox, would you like to comment on these two events, please?
I'm here to answer any questions you guys may have. It was so the incident in '97. That was 26 years ago. I was an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
We got into a fight with some local kids. I was at a college. Okay, I had a summer job working construction. We had a job up in a small town in Kansas, and I don't know if you're familiar with the dynamics of small town mid-America.
Yeah, I grew up one.
okay, well, when out-of-towners come in, you know, local kids, I guess, see it as a threat. And, you know, they actually come up and started the fight with us. The local kids did not get arrested. The out-of-state kids did. And the DA tried to overcharge us with battery. And it was just a fight, you know. It was
right.
So, and the judge saw that, he saw through that, and dropped all the charges, dismissed the case.
Okay, great.
So, having said that, you know, I didn't know that that was still on my record because, in fact, I'd completely forgotten about it. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I started filling out my applications for various states, medical licenses in various states, it never came up as an issue. And just to be honest, that was so far in the past, you guys brought it to my attention and reminded me of it. So it had never caused any issues in the past with the other states that I've licensed with. And, so, you know.
All right.
It was a shock to know that you guys had found it when all the other states didn't.
We got a good group.
And then in 2004, that DUI, I was going through a divorce, my first divorce at the time, and it was just, you know, bad, poor judgment. I own up to that, but, you know, and I went through all the necessary processes to get that taken care of and charges dropped and expunged from my record. I didn't know that in Oklahoma there are two types of expungement. There's like a partial expungement where it still stays on there. But so whenever I had it expunged, I thought it wasn't going to show up anywhere if someone did a background check on me. But apparently it did. So.
Okay. Thank you. Board member questions?
Dr. Maddox, can I ask what you're doing now?
Currently, I am. So for the past 9 years, I've been practicing pathology in Oklahoma. And for the past 7 years, I've been the chief of pathology and laboratory medical director for the Chickasaw Nation Medical Center in Ada, Oklahoma. I chair infection control committee. I'm on the MEC committee, peer review committee, several committees, cancer committee. There are many administrative roles that I play.
And could I ask what you would like to do in Arizona?
Practice pathology. My wife and I love it out west. We were just in Scottsdale last month, and we're back out here in Utah. So we're empty nesters now. My youngest just graduated high school and is in college. Mm-hmm. So we're ready to move out west. We like to hike, bike. I do triathlons. Want to have as many options available to me as possible.
Thank you.
And, we really like Arizona. So.
Could I go back to 1997? Were you detained in 1997?
Yes.
And were you spending any amount of time at the police station, behind bars, or otherwise held?
Yes.
And you did go to court for that, had a hearing in front of a judge, correct?
Yes.
And in 2004, were you detained by police officers, or were you cited and released?
I was detained.
And you spent some amount of time in police custody then, overnight?
Overnight, yes.
And, of course, you did spend time in court in front of a judge?
Yes.
So just to be clear, expunged or not, that meets a strong definition of arrest that a layperson would understand when answering a question. That's granted 20-plus years ago, but that's something that should be a significant point of your life and hopefully a changing point, although I understand some of the dynamics might have been different then, and hopefully are very different at this point. Obviously, you've done very well for yourself, and I don't see anything since 2004. That's fantastic. But that's a serious violation if you're answering no to a question where you were detained and did appear in front of a court in front of a judge, I should say. I'm sorry, that's all I have for questions, Dr. Strassen.
Thank you. Other questions? All right, Dr. Maddox, are you going to do pathology here? Are you going to go to a university, or what's your idea? What your employment would be?
Ideally, private practice, but I've kicked around the ideas of getting back into academia.
Hmm.
I've never, I've always enjoyed teaching. So whenever someone wants to shadow me or a medical student rotates through the hospital I'm at, I'm super eager to teach, which we don't get very many, very often. And
yeah, in pathology.
Well, especially in small town Oklahoma.
Yeah, right, right. Well, we have a lot of medical schools here, so there's plenty of facilities that you can go do your passion. So,
right.
I think you would like it. Any other questions or concerns?
Dr. Erbstrasser, could I make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potential legal advice?
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
A second.
By Dr. Chapin. Okay, we're just going to take, we're going to put you off on a side. We're going to go discuss a little bit, and then we'll be right back, okay?
I believe Dr. Maidham's motion included confidential health information. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
I didn't hear that part. So
we'll bring Dr. Maddox with us into executive session.
Very good. Okay. So you're coming with us, Doc.
Okay.
You should receive a notification to move to a breakout room right now.
Okay, we're back in open session. For personal information, everything's good. Dr. Matem?
I would like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted license to practice in Arizona to Dr. Maddox.
We've got a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
A second.
Second by Dr. Chapin. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? None. Okay, Dr. Maddox, welcome to Arizona.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
And we appreciate you being very candid, because that helps us, you know, when people start, you know, beating around the bush, it doesn't give us the information.
Right. No, there's nothing to hide. It was just a misunderstanding on the question, and I won't make that mistake moving forward.
Good. All right. Mr. Bohol.
I think we can invite the medical students to join us. Dr. Maddox, you're free to leave. Thank you for participating today. While we're waiting for the medical students to join in the expeditiousness, if the board would move to the miscellaneous section to discuss the board meeting calendar for 2024, Section 9A, we have picked the meetings for next year's calendar. It would be January 26th, March 30th, May 17th, July 19th, September 28th, and November 22nd. So I included that in your materials. I, of course, can email out that calendar to you after the board meeting. So if the board would like to approve those meetings, we'll put those on the calendar and reserve those rooms.
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Aye. There you go, Justin. Good job.
Thank you. And then I think we're still waiting for the students. I can move to report for board members. I'll be pretty brief on this. We've had a really successful couple of months. I wanted to highlight that we have gone live with our new database. We have opened our renewals portal a whole month ahead of schedule. Renewals normally open about the end of October. We went live October 1st. The system has an automation feature to send out notices automatically, so licensees were able to receive those emails. Mm-hmm. In the week plus that we've had it open, we've already had 10%, about 10% renew their license. So we're very excited about that. Let me share my... database that we have now has what's called a licensee portal. The licensees can log into the portal. They can enter their continuing education immediately after completing it and have a repository for that information. They can upload their certificates. They don't have to wait until the renewal season to provide us their continuing education now. There's also a feature that we're very excited about is there's the ability for them to print their own certificates now, and something that we've brought back, we haven't done it in a while, is wallet cards. There's now a feature for them to be able to print their own wallet cards. So you can log into the portal, update your address, update your board specialty certification, and print your own certificate and wallet card now. So that's going to be a time saver for staff, so we can focus more on processing applications rather than having to fill other requests. Mm-hmm. And it also allows for the licensees to be able to do more for with their license and gather that information. So we're thrilled about our portal. Just in regards to licensing, so far this year we have received 135 standard applications. We've issued 234 licenses. That includes compact licenses as well as full licenses. Our average processing time right now is 72 days. This is just due to the volume of applications that we've received so far. But licensing staff works very hard to make sure that there's not a backlog and that we're providing those notices as quickly as possible to get those processed. We do have an increased number of complaints. I think we are attributing that to actually the ease of filing a complaint on our website with our new complaint process. So we're working through those investigations and bringing those cases to you. Hmm. I would note that the complexity of some of the cases are increasing, as you've seen, I think, in the previous months when we bring you a case. So we're trying to do all we can to fully investigate it, get medical consultants and experts to review it so that you have all the information you need to make a determination on that case. But that's everything I have, if there's any questions for the board members. Okay. There's no questions. I think we have the medical students present, so we can move to that section. Medical students, we welcome you to our meeting. If you'd like to turn on your camera, you're welcome to ask questions of the board. I would note that specifically we can't talk about the specifics of cases that were on the agenda today, but we can discuss generalities, or if you have questions about processes, now's the time to do that. But I'll turn it over to you, Dr. Obstos.
Well, thank you. Well, welcome. I hope everything's going well for you. You know, today was kind of a short day. Usually, you know, we go till 3 or 4. We have more cases. So do you have any questions, not regarding any particular case or any observations, or do you have any questions regarding the board?
And if you don't ask questions, we ask you questions, so this is your chance to pipe up.
Hi, my name is Noor. I'm a third year at Midwestern right now. I wanted to thank you for letting us join you in your meeting. I just wanted to ask a kind of vague question, but I'm sure you guys see certain themes coming up with doctors getting themselves into trouble. As an aspiring physician, do you have any advice for me and my classmates moving forward? So hopefully we won't be in this position with you guys.
That's a great question. So getting in trouble is kind of a little bit vague here. So are you talking about as far as getting a patient complaint, student Dr. Noor, or what is your question?
That's what it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can cover it all if you want. It's not a problem. So and I'll let my cohorts answer this too, but if you don't mind if I start, Dr. Erbstrasser.
Not at all, Dr. Madam.
My personal thing that I try to teach all my the students, and I try to remind myself of every day, is I think our egos are one of the most dangerous parts of our personality, and it's part of our personality. And our belief that since we've been practicing, I've been practicing for well over 20 years, probably 25-ish years, and I should know everything by now. And I think my best attribute as a physician is the realization that I don't know everything. I do, I'm an emergency medicine physician, and I do a lot of onboarding with our new physicians. And one of the things that I ask of our new physicians is one of the things that I'd like you to take to heart, student Dr. Noor, is I ask the student physicians to ask me anytime they have a question, anytime they have a concern, or anytime they need additional advice. And I throw the caveat on there of I ask them not to judge me if I ask them a question about advice, because they have a different perspective. They learned in a different generation, and they have information that was taught to them that was not taught to me. I try to spend pretty much every day of my life learning something, and I use emergency medicine resources for continuing education that I like to listen to while I'm driving or jogging or working out. So those things help keep me current, because we will never stop learning, and unfortunately we'll never stop making mistakes. We have to admit to ourselves our limitations, continue to work on ourselves, and remember, when you walk out of medical school, you're not going to know everything. When you walk out of residency, you're not going to know everything. And 25 years into my practice, I don't know everything. All right, that's really important to know. And something I don't think we saw today, but we see fairly often, kind of edges on that. Dr. Pra's defined it as siloing before, if I remember your terminology correct, Dr. Pra. If we don't open ourselves to asking questions to our cohorts, or if we work alone, or if, goodness forbid, we think we know everything, then we will not continue to learn and we'll still practice. Some physicians like myself might practice with information that's 25 years old. That's certainly not currently correct. And these are things that will easily get us in trouble on a regular basis. So just keep in mind that you may become a physician, but you're still a human being. You're open to all the same vulnerabilities and mistakes as a human being, and you have to keep that wide perspective to stop from making mistakes. And I apologize, I could go on for an hour for this, but I won't do that to you, student Dr. Noor.
No, I'm sure it'll come back to you, Dr. Maiden. We're making a circle. Other board members want to make a comment or advice? Dr. Chapon?
Sure. So I think, yeah, everything you said, Dr. Maiden, absolutely, it's important. You know, all these things are important. The other thing that with patients, communication, making sure that you, you're restricted in time a lot of times. You know, as a resident, you're not so much. As you become an attending, you have a little more time restriction. Make sure you're taking the time to explain, you know, risks, benefits, side effects. Make sure you fully explain to the patients what any type of procedure, any type of evaluation, what you're doing, and that they understand and have time to ask you questions. And then also making sure that you really stay up to date with standard of care and that you're practicing that standard of care and not, you know, going to something that's an opinion or something that you read somewhere, you know, that may not be the standard of care for your practice. So just keeping up to date on all of those by doing your CMA meetings. And then the other thing is, you know, patients will complain. Patients do. So, you know, if you do have a patient complaint, you know, not getting, you know, understanding that it is a very stressful experience and there will be potentially lawsuits, you know, I mean, just understanding that everyone goes through that and not letting it affect you as a human being, but understanding what you can learn from that and getting the resources and help to deal with those situations when they do arise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good advice. You know, one of the things we saw today, and we see it all, we discuss it with the medical students quite a bit, is filling out an application. And filling out the application requires you to pay attention to it. Nobody else fills it out but yourself. All right. And you know what? We'll find it. You know, we went back to the one case back in 1994, right? I mean, that's our board. That's what they're responsible to do. And it's like, this guy totally forgot it. Well, yeah, but it still was a problem. So be honest, fill it out accordingly to what we're asking. And don't let anybody else fill your application in anything. And that includes hospital privileges and all of that stuff. Okay? Do it yourself so you know it's right. Other questions?
I had a question about that. So clearly, if you have a record expunged or dismissed, you still have to report it. What is what do you do if it's something you did as a minor, if you have a minor offense? Do you still have to report that one as well?
I'm going to ask Jean about that. That's out of my territory.
It depends on how the question is worded. Jurisdictions have a way to attempt to get that information, and you'd have to pay attention to the way the question is worded. I can't offer legal advice, but generally it is better to over-inform than withhold the information.
Jean, could you explain, if somebody was filling out our application, right, not any agencies, but our application, if there was a, something that happened when they were 14 or 15, how would it apply in Arizona?
I don't have the exact wording of the application, but I would go ahead and note that there was something on your record as a minor, and then the staff would contact you to see if that's something that they would want to put before the board. Typically, we don't get disclosures involving minor infractions or diversions. I don't know if it's because of a lack of those events or lack of disclosure. It's rare that no disclosure is made, and then we are provided with information about that. Often states do not require, and that information is not provided by DPS or FBI. It really goes to the way the question is worded.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, ladies, anybody else want to comment?
And I think on that also, Justin's always mentioned that, you know, if you have a question about how the question's worded and how you should answer, you can always contact your board and ask so that you fill it out appropriately the first time. Because certainly you'll have some training licenses and then your actual license. So if you don't disclose something correctly on a training license and then it comes up on your full license, that can certainly be an issue if there's conflicting information. So.
And thank you for that. I say that our staff is always engaged with the application process. And so if there's information that you need to share with us, you know, there's certain parts of the application that staff can process and approve that do not have to go to the board, and there's parameters around that. So the giving us the information is always more helpful.
And Dr. Erbstrasser, if I can create a segue from student Dr. Noor's question to some information that Dr. Prah has for us, would that be okay?
That'd be perfectly fine, Dr. Meadham.
I'm setting up. I'm teeing up, Dr. Prah.
And yeah.
By the way, Dr. Prah, that bear that keeps showing up behind you is freaking me out. I don't know what it is, but it's not okay. So I'm sorry. So student Dr. Noor, in addition to what I was talking about before, one of the most common reasons that we have events is what we were alluding to a couple of times in the past so far, is as Dr. Chapin says, as our workload increases, we have less time for ourselves. The less time we take for ourselves, the more distracted we are. So for quite a few reasons, physicians will keep on taking more and more work, and that more and more work leaves us less time to be human beings. But as it turns out, we're going to be human beings no matter what we do. So as we start to take away our humanistic characters, we're going to start to be distracted. We're going to get short-tempered. We're going to lose interest in our job. As we lose interest in our job, we might become more detached from our patients, and certainly from our continuing education and the whole reason that you guys have spent the last several years trying to succeed in medical school and the last several years before that trying to make yourselves good enough to qualify. So it's really important to remember that we need to still be people, although that leaves us vulnerable. We have to have our resources. We have to have our outlets, be it family, be it hobby, exercising, or just whatever our resource is, because you're going to be physicians, and that's fantastic to be a physician. But we also have to have what's behind that, being a human and being humanistic. That's part of what makes being osteopathic physicians fantastic. So, Dr. Prah, I'm setting you up to continue on there.
Okay, thank you. to answer one of the questions first, is I do give a lecture to the first-year students at the medical schools about how to avoid getting in trouble with the board. And, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, one of the most important things I think that you can do is to have really good communication with your patients. And And it's important that you respect them and that you don't assume an awful lot. A lot of times we'll have people come before the board because or at least a complaint, because the patient misunderstood the humor that the physician was attempting. You have to remember that people are from all different kinds of backgrounds, and that because something is funny to you, it might not be funny to them. So you have to be really careful with your humor. You have to be really careful with your comments to make sure that you're very respectful of the patient. It's also important to document. You document only the facts. You don't add in any information that's not relevant to the case. And the reason that you document is so that someone coming behind you can see exactly what you were thinking and exactly what you did and what your plan was for the future if what you did not work. You do that for yourself, or as well as for any other physician that's coming behind you to take care of the patient. The thing that I think Dr. Madam was alluding to is, he was saying that we're all human, and one of the things about being human is that we all are susceptible to diseases as well as mental health issues. And if you are having a difficult time, or you know someone that is having a difficult time, especially with drug or alcohol, any kind of substance abuse issues, that board does offer a confidential physicians program that allows you to get help and have an evaluation and get help without it affecting your license. What would be expected of the person completely depends on what the evaluator determines. The person would be, in some circumstances, they would be asked to be on a probation that is confidential, and they're asked to have drug screens routinely in order to be able to help them with their recovery. Once the person is graduated from that program, they are, there's nothing on your record, there's nothing in it, and it's not to be deceitful to the public. It is just simply because we all know that we're all human and we all make mistakes, and we all have the same issues that any other layperson would have. And it's to help people get healthy and whole so they can practice without having any risk to the public. And the other thing that I always bring up is you saw a couple of instances where people had things in their past that happened that they had to bring before the board. One of the most common things we have is DUI. And there's really no reason to get a DUI in this day and age. I mean, because you make a plan before you go. You know you're going to drink or you're not going to drink. You make sure that you have an appropriate ride home, whether it's a ride share or have a designated driver. Always. Not only because you don't want to have to come before the board and talk about it and deal with it, but also because you don't want to risk your life or anyone else's life. And it's just a simple decision that you make before you even leave for the evening. And that's all I have.
And if I could expand a little bit on that, and I really appreciate that, Dr. Prad, that's perfect. I know I've been doing this job for a while, but I've lost several colleagues to suicide. I've had many retire very early in their career because of depression, anxiety, or other personal problems. So I'd just like to emphasize the board has resources for you to reach out to. We're all human beings. It's okay for a doctor to have a doctor, a counselor, a psychiatrist, and a support group. It takes a lot to be able to do our jobs, and failing to reach out to those resources is usually a problem of stigma. We all want to be that pillar. We want to be that strong individual that can weather the storm, be it COVID, be it the financial stresses of primary care, of private practice, of whatever it is. So just keep in mind, you're human. We want you to be able to do your job for several decades. It takes a lot to do what you've accomplished. And a well-grounded physician takes good care of their patients. So please, please reach out. Please use your resources. Don't try to be that hero. Be the excellent physician that we expect of you. Boy, I shouldn't throw expectations on you. I'm sorry. But I really want you to have the chance to succeed and do the best you can for your patients. Sorry to be sober, but it's just very important to us.
Thank you, Dr. Maidam, Dr. Prad, Dr. Chabon. Dr. Maidam. All right. Any other questions from the medical students? Okay. Well, I think we'll go ahead and let you guys get back to work.
Could I just say one other thing before, Dr. Yeah. Professor?
Yeah.
So a lot of what I say is grim. We have some important things to deal with in the medical board and the many other jobs we do. But you guys have picked the most fantastic job, where you get to give people second chances, you get to help them extend their lives and help them to make their best choices. So please don't take that away as a bad thing. I want you to remember that you have an opportunity to do so much, reach out and help so many people, and that by itself is certainly a blessing. So thank you for what you're doing.
Okay.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Maidam. All right, so get off. Go ahead and go and study. Do what you have to do. Remember everything you heard here today, because you'll need it in the future. So good luck to you all. Okay. All right. All right, Mr. Bohol, where do we go?
That completes the agenda. So if you're ready for adjournment, you can make a motion.
Oh, wow, that's record time.
That's okay. Right.
The next meeting, Justin, is
December. Let me pull up the exact date because I want to say December 3rd and I could be wrong.
Is this a hybrid?
This will be a hybrid, yes.
Okay.
So
December 2nd.
December 2nd. I was so close. December 2nd, we'll see all the board members. We will have a meeting room available.
That's great.
Looking forward to it.
Was I too sobering, guys? Was that bad?
No, I think it's wonderful.
I felt like I was a downer. Thank you, Dr. Prof, for what you did there, too. Thank you, Dr. Chabon.
Not a downer.
Hey, Justin, I thought I saw in an email you sent out in a 2024 meeting schedule.
Yes. Yes.
Now I'm just would you mind reforwarding that to me? I'm just digging through your emails. I'm not finding the right one.
I will send it right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was on the link for the meeting there. The bottom of the meeting link had the calendar link.
Oh, it's a link. That's why I'm not seeing the attachment. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
But I'll send everybody, actually, the attachment to the calendar.
Thanks.
All right. I'd like to thank the board, and also like to thank the staff for their excellent work. You make our jobs easier, for sure. And you give us all the information we need. We do appreciate you very much.
Thank you. We appreciate everybody's flexibility in meeting on Friday the 13th. So,
yeah, and thank you, Justin.
Thanks for everybody's participation. I appreciate you guys being here.
Okay. All right, do I have a motion for adjournment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr.
Hi.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Gene, you got to put something up for me.
No roll call necessary, but a full voice vote is fine.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. Hi.